Let's turn together in our Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We'll also be reading in just a few moments from Belgic Confession Article 23. And the Belgic Confession is found in the back of our songbook, so we'll turn to that in just a moment. First, let's read our text from Romans chapter 3. And in Romans 3, we'll start reading at verse 9. Romans chapter 3 at verse 9, and we'll read down to verse 26. That's on page 1118, Romans chapter 3, starting a reading at verse 9. Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all, for we have already charged them that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, no one is righteous, no, not one, no one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless, no one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, they use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips, their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, in their path are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He has passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. In particular, we find there in verse 26, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to answer the question, then, how can God remain just and also justify those who are sinners? Let's turn in the back of our songbooks to Belgic Confession, Article 23. And that's found on page 863. 863, Belgic Confession, Article 23, subtitled The Justification of Sinners. Belgian Confession, Article 23. We believe that our blessedness lies in the forgiveness of our sins because of Jesus Christ, and that it is our righteousness before God is contained, as David and Paul teach us when they declare that man blessed to whom God grants righteousness apart from works. And the same apostle says that we are justified freely or by grace through redemption in Jesus Christ. And therefore we cling to this foundation, which is firm forever, giving all glory to God, humbling ourselves and recognizing ourselves as we are, not claiming a thing for ourselves or our merits and learning, and resting only on the obedience of Christ crucified, which is ours when we believe in Him. That is enough to cover all our sins and to make us confident, freeing the conscience from the fear, dread, and terror of God's approach, without doing what our first father Adam did, who trembled as he tried to cover himself with fig leaves. In fact, if we had to appear before God, relying, no matter how little, on ourselves or some other creature, then alas, we would be swallowed up. Therefore, everyone must say with David, Lord, do not enter into judgment with your servant, for before you no living person shall be justified. And as far as reading in the Belgian Confession, we pray for the blessing of God upon the preaching of this word. congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, is justification one of those $10 words that pastors use from time to time, but have little or no impact or connection with our daily lives? Justification may be one of the larger words that we use, and it's a word that needs to be explained and understood. That should not lead us to think it has no importance or no connection with our daily lives. Stated plainly, understanding what justification is and the benefit that we receive having been justified is vital for our Christian comfort, assurance, peace, and joy. In fact, if you are not justified, you will not be at peace with God and you will not be saved. If you think about it, the whole concept or the whole movement of the Reformation was connected and centered on this very word. Martin Luther himself said that justification is the doctrine upon which the church stands or falls. The church stands or falls on this doctrine, justification. Well, last week when we began to consider the works of Jesus Christ as our final priest, the one who offers himself as that one a sacrifice for the complete forgiveness of all our sins, Jesus Christ is the one who earns our salvation. This week we move on to look at the process. How do the works of Jesus Christ benefit us? What Jesus Christ did almost 2,000 years ago, how is that connected to us in our present day and age? Our emphasis on understanding the graciousness of this gift, the free gift of being saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, that as we are joined to Christ by faith, His merits, His works are attributed, given to us, credited to our account, is what sets us apart from not only the Roman Catholic teaching, but all Arminian teaching as well. Where in the Roman Catholic and Arminian concept, they teach that man has to participate with or cooperate with God in our justification. But we must firmly see that as we take God's word, we see that in Scripture, justification is something that God does for us. It's not something that we can do or we can contribute to at all. So today we are going to see that the justified receive the righteousness of Christ by faith. Justification is usually spoken of in a legal realm as a judge who declares something. But we can also approach justification in the realm of math. When you consider what takes place at justification, there is a minusing and a plussing. There is a taking away and an addition to. So we're going to see in looking at our first 2 points, the two aspects of what is called double imputation. Double imputation. That my sins are taken, removed, minus from my account, and they are given, added, placed on Christ's account. And His righteousness, His perfect life, His holy obedience is credited, added, attributed to my account. So then we begin then with our first point by considering what it means to be justified. Let's start with the definition. What is justification? How would you define this thing called justification? When we read from Romans 3, verse 26, that God is just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be justified? Well, Lord's Day 23 in the Heidelberg Catechism perhaps gives us the clearest definition of justification. Lord's Day 23 puts it like this. Justification is where God grants and credits to me the perfect righteousness and holiness of Christ, as if I had never sinned or been a sinner, and as if I had been as perfectly righteous and obedient as Christ was for me. So justification is dealing with works. It is dealing with righteousness. It is dealing with merit. It is dealing with how we might be accepted in God's sight. So justification is an act of God. It's something that God does. It is a one-time event, and it is a once-for-all event. It is a complete and perfect event, There is no need for a repeat or a further process of justification. No, it is once for all and one time. Justification as a declaration, something that God does, is based not upon a change in me, but rather a change in my status. It's how God views me. How then might we be declared righteous, acceptable in God's sight? Well, let's start with the negative sense. Stated negatively, justification means that I am declared not guilty. My sins are removed from me, they're taken from my account, and they are credited, they are placed on Christ's account. My wicked acts and my sinful nature are not held against me. Now we have to remember that as we read in Romans 3, God is just and the justifier. God is just. And his justice demands that something needs to be done with our sins. Being just, God cannot simply close his eyes and pretend that our sins don't exist. God cannot lift up the corner of the carpet and sweep our sins underneath there to hide them. God is just. And his justice demands that sin, the penalty of sin, the payment for sin must be offered. But praise God, that payment is not demanded from us. These wicked acts of sinful nature are taken from our records, from our account, and they are placed on Christ. We are declared innocent. Justification is what makes the suffering of Christ, his bearing hellish agony on the cross, justification is what makes the works of Christ in his suffering necessary. Our passage from Romans 3 puts it this way. Satisfaction of God's wrath. That's what propitiation, that's another $10 word, propitiation. That is the satisfaction, the appeasement of God's wrath. God is just. His wrath is kindled at the sight, at the presence of sin. But Jesus Christ satisfies, pays. We can look at Romans 3, verse 23 through 25. We are all like under sin, yet we find forgiveness. Although our sins stand against us, they are removed, no longer on our account. We can also consider Isaiah 43, verse 25. The Lord blots out your transgressions, remembers your sins no more. Romans 4, verse 7. Blessed are those whose sins are covered and whose lawless deeds are forgiven. We sang earlier from Psalm 32, never count my sins against me. So the first aspect, or the first part of the equation, is that our sins are removed, they're covered, they're taken away, they're paid for. They're no longer held against us. You might sometimes hear pastors or other theologians talk about the active and passive obedience of Jesus Christ. His passive obedience is where Jesus Christ suffered as if he was a sinner. The penalty, the consequence, the curse of the law was taken upon him, suffered by him, and in this way, God remains just. His just requirements are met. Jesus Christ paid our debt. It is in his passive obedience that we find good news. Because what we should have paid, he pays. We are declared innocent and without guilt. But there is another side of this equation that we cannot forget. That is his active obedience. Not only did Christ suffer in his passive obedience, suffering as a sinner, that Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, he also, in his active obedience, perfectly kept all of God's commandments, living a holy life and never sinning in any part. He earned perfect righteousness. And although most of us have memorized, perhaps you did when you were younger, memorizing what justification is. You might have this little definition in your back pocket. What's justification? It's just as if I had never sinned. That's true insofar as you go, but it is insufficient, and that definition is incomplete. Justification is not just as if I had never sinned. That's half of the equation. But it is also just as if I had been as perfectly obedient and righteous as Christ was. We profess double imputation. Double imputation is that my sins are taken from me, credited, attributed, put on Jesus Christ's account, and he satisfies that. Passive obedience. But the other side in this double imputation is his righteousness, his holiness, his perfect life, his law abiding, keeping God's commandments at every moment is attributed, credited, granted to me and my account. This act of obedience. So justification does not simply bring us to an Adamic pre-fall state. It's not when God looks at us, he sees us, it's just like he had never sinned. And now he has to do the rest by himself. If justification was only the first half of the equation, then we would still need to live a perfect, holy, sinless life in order to enter the joys of heavenly paradise. And if we would sin, we would lose our justification. But praise God, justification is not just wiping the slate clean. It's not just making the paper white. It's filling in all the blanks with perfect righteousness. Perhaps I can illustrate this for our children. Children, if you want to turn in a perfect test, and the first time you turn in your paper, you find that you've got every single one wrong. Your teacher graciously says to you, okay, little one, I'm going to give you another opportunity to get a perfect 100% on your test. Step one is that you need to take out this massive eraser and erase every single wrong answer that you stuck in there. That's the first half of the equation. So now you're back at square one. You have a test with no answers. If you were to turn them in to your teacher, would she say, well done? No, you need the second half of the equation. You need to come and write in the correct answer. And that's what Jesus Christ's active obedience does. Is he supplies the right answers. He not only erases with his eraser all of our sins, he supplies the right answers. And in this we find our lasting comfort. The glory of this doctrine in passive and active obedience, double imputation, just as if I had never sinned, and just as if I had been as perfectly righteous as Christ was for me, that is where we find our good news. Being righteous not only means we are no longer considered sinners, we are now considered, in God's sight, declared holy, righteous. When God looks at us, he sees his Son, Jesus Christ. When he looks at your account, he sees paid in full, perfect holiness and righteousness. Absolute perfection without spot, stain, or blemish. So justification includes both parts, forgiveness of sins and the reception of righteousness. And here is where we consider 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. He became sin so that we might become righteousness. He became sin so that we might be declared holy and acceptable. Romans 5. By one act of righteousness, Christ brings justification and life. For just as through disobedience of the one man, Adam, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, Jesus Christ, many will be made righteous. So what takes place in justification is that we are being declared before God perfect and holy and righteous. So that if I were to ask you, are we saved by works? Is salvation by works? And the answer is 100% absolutely. Are you saved by works? Yes, you are. Not yours, praise God for that. But you are saved by works. The works of Jesus Christ, those works, His works, are the grounds by which you might be saved. Or to put it another way, one of the ways that Scripture illustrates what takes place in justification is by considering righteousness or comparing righteousness to clothing. When we are born in our sins, this is what the high priest Joshua illustrated in the Old Testament. The high priest is standing and he's covered in dirty, filthy rags. And the angel says, take away his dirty, filthy rags, but clothe him with the pure, righteous rags. So pure, righteous clothes, robes, not rags. Our sins are like filthy garments that need to be taken away, done away with, removed. But justification is not that we would be naked, but that we would be further clothed with Christ's righteousness. That's what Paul says in Romans 4. We are counted as righteous. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 4, fully and further clothed. That's what justification is. Our dirty rags taken away, Christ's righteous robe placed on our shoulders. Well, now that we've looked at the twofold aspects of justification, in our final point then, we look at the benefit. What is the gain? How are we blessed by this great truth? Well, our article puts it this way. If we were to appear before God while trusting in ourselves or any other creature, be it ever so little, we would be condemned. If we appear before God, be it ever so little, trusting in ourselves, then alas, we would be swallowed up. On the day of judgment, when you stand before the white throne, Jesus Christ sitting on that throne, judging the nations, and if you come into his presence trusting in 50% of Jesus Christ and 50% of yourself, then there's no good news for you. Only bad news. You'll be swallowed up in God's wrath. You see, true faith is a faith of complete dependence and trust. Justification is that all of your sins are taken away and paid for, and all of your necessary righteousness has been supplied. It's not enough to trust in Christ for your forgiveness and then trust in yourselves or depend on your ability to keep yourself in God's good graces. As Romans 3 verse 10 reminds us, there is no one righteous. Isaiah 64, your righteousness is as filthy rags. Galatians 2, no man is justified by works of the law. So you not only need the forgiveness of your sins, but you need the addition, the credit of Christ's righteousness. So we are saved by grace, and grace alone, through faith, and faith alone, in Christ and Christ alone. Hebrews 10, my righteous one shall live by faith. So the first application should be abundantly clear. Understanding what justification is leads to a complete dependence on Christ and Christ alone. We look to Him, we trust in Him for the forgiveness, but also in His supplying our righteousness. But it also, in our second application, provides us with comfort. Our article puts it this way: we are free from fear, terror, and dread. Instead of trying to run around and provide enough good things, and isn't that what most people do in our world? When most people think about the day of judgment, if they have some concept of the day of judgment, In most people's minds, they think God is going to weigh them on a graded scale, where if I've done slightly more good things than bad things, God is going to forgive me and he's going to welcome me into his presence. I just have to make sure I tip the scales in the favor of me being a little bit better than bad, and God will be happy. But that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says if you are trusting in yourselves, if you're looking, if you're depending in your own ability, there is no one righteous, no, not one. The best you can do is filthy rags. And God will say to you on that last day, away from me, you wicked evildoer, I never knew you. If you trust in yourselves, be it ever so slightly, there's no hope, there's no comfort. But for God's people who trust in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins and the supplying of the necessary righteousness and holiness has already been supplied in Jesus Christ, you can live your life in the comfort of knowing that nothing can take you, nothing can separate you, nothing can remove you from the love of God, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Not height, not depth, not principality, not power, not the devil, and not even your own sins can remove from you this blessed privilege and promise. So we have comfort. The third application is we are called to joyful obedience. Joyful obedience. We no longer live in fear. We're no longer plagued by doubt. Our consciences are quieted because we know our salvation is certain. We go forth in the joy of the Lord and the joy of the Spirit, living our lives in response, living out of this great and gracious truth. We are saved by grace, justified wholly and completely. It can't be removed. It does not need to be added to. It does not need to be redone. It is sufficient once for all. So you can live your life in joyful obedience because of Christ's perfect and complete work. To conclude, the doctrine of justification is not a $10 word reserved for the halls of seminary. No, understanding the active and passive obedience, double imputation, justification by faith in the works of Christ alone, that doctrine was of such importance, it led to the Reformation. Upon this truth, the true church stands or falls. Upon this truth, a true Christian is known. This doctrine makes all the difference in the world. Are you right with God? When God looks at you, what does he see? Does he see Christ? Does he see his righteousness? Does he see Christ's works? Or are you still trying to establish your own righteousness by holding up your dirty rags? This truth teaches us how we are saved, and it displays the greatness, the glory of our God. When rightly taught, when we embrace this doctrine with a heart of faith, God gets the praise. He gets the glory. But we get the comfort because we receive the good news. When rightly understood, we are motivated to live a Christian life not as a part of our works, not to establish our own righteousness, but in response in our gratitude. So let us all learn to trust in Him alone and to praise God for this great gift of justification. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and as we have delved deep into the minds of theological truth, and we thank you for this great and wondrous truth, that we are saved by grace, that we are declared not only forgiven, but declared righteous and accepted in your sight, welcomed into your presence because of Christ and his active and passive obedience. May this truth fill our hearts with joy. May it comfort us. May it fill us with a desire to praise you and to give thanks to you For this wondrous gift we receive through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.